So, again, my name is Tasha Prettyman. I'm working on my master's degree at Utah State University. I would like to, first of all, acknowledge my collaborators, John Stark, Aldo Compagnoni, and Peter Adler. I thank them for their help, and especially my wonderful assistant, Sarah Benotti, for all of her time spent in the lab. So I am studying the effect of a decreased snow cover on nutrient cycling. Climate change models predict that in the western U.S. there will be a shift in precipitation from snowfall to rainfall, having a decreased cover of snow during the winter months when precipitation is predominant. So we've discussed this in earlier presentations, but this decreased snow cover leaves the soil open to ambient air temperatures, creating more freeze-thaw cycles in the soil. Freeze-thaw cycles can disrupt soil aggregates, causing an unstable matrix for plant growth, release nutrients from the soil, and lyse microbial cells. These changes in the soil structure can alter the nutrient cycling, reducing rates of nitrogen immobilization as one example. To look at how these freeze-thaw cycles affect nutrient cycling, we have a field site in northern Utah, Logan, Utah, at the Green Canyon Ecological Research Center. The precipitation is predominantly snowfall during the winter months, so right here we see snow depth during October through May over, this is last year's data actually, so we kind of had intermittent snow cover throughout the winter season. One of the novelties about using this site is that it is a semi-arid ecosystem, a sagebrush steppe ecosystem. Most of the studies that have been done so far have been in Arctic or alpine ecosystems where there is snow cover year-round rather than seasonally. We chose to do a field experiment too, rather than a lab experiment, to see how the soils naturally react to these freeze-thaw cycles. So we have a two-year study. Last year was the first year. We were planning to do more research this coming winter. We have three different treatments: warming, snow melt, and the control treatment, all with each replicates. The warming treatment, we use infrared heat lamps to melt the snow. The warming treatment, in the warming treatment, the heat lamp is on throughout the whole season. So we see melting of the snow and a slight warming of the air temperatures above the soil. So this is an example of a warming plot. Snow melt is, the heat lamp for snow melt is on only long enough to melt the snow. So after the snow is melted, the heat lamps are turned off and the soil is able to experience the ambient freezing air temperatures. Finally, control is just natural environmental conditions. This is an example of a control plot right here. We are looking at the spatial variation in the soil between 0 to 5 centimeters and 5 to 10 centimeters. The measurements that we are taking include soil moisture and temperature, inorganic nitrogen and phosphorus extracted by a low salt concentration solution, and a resin membrane. What we do with the resin membrane is it extracts the ions based on their properties, cation or anion. The membrane is wrapped around a PVC pipe and placed in the ground for a period of a month to see the accumulate, and then extracted in a salt solution to see the accumulation of those ions. We also did a net and mineralization using buried bag method, and microbial carbon and nitrogen, and gross nitrogen mineralization. The last two will not be discussed in this presentation. One thing we did visually see in the spring was there was increased plant growth in the warming plots, rather as opposed to in the control plots. This data is courtesy of Aldo Campagnoni. He did more research on the plant aspect of freeze-thaw cycles and snow melt. So it supports what we saw. We see a this graph shows the population growth rates of the seeds per plot, and we see a huge difference, a huge increase in growth rates in the warming plots as compared to the snow melt or the control. And then in the fecundity of these seeds, we see much more fertile seeds in the warming as opposed to the snow melt and the control plots. So why might this happen? We have temperature data. As you can see, the surface temperature between the three treatments are very similar. There's a slight warmer temperatures on the surface of the warming soils, which is expected. But the snow melt and the control are generally the same. At 5 centimeters, we see more of a variation between the treatments. A warmer, on average, the warming treatment was about 5 degrees Celsius warmer than the snow melt or the control, and the snow melt was about 2 degrees warmer than the control treatment. Again, this shows the soil temperature at 5 centimeters in depth. And when you look at the temperature at 20 centimeters, it is, again, similar. It shows a similar pattern in that the warming temperatures the warming treatments have warmer temperatures. And the snow melt treatments are in the middle of between the warming and the control. When you look at soil moisture at 5 centimeters, the moisture contents are roughly the same. But when you look at the moisture contents at 20 centimeters, they begin to have variation in that the snow melt has the most volumetric water content, followed by the warming treatment and then the control. All right, so when we look at the nitrogen extracted by the resin membrane, we see a seasonal trend from with a pulse of ammonium in April, but between the treatments there are no consistent differences in each month. They're roughly the same, and we see this same trend in resin extractable nitrate. There is a seasonal variation, but the variation between the plots are still the same. There are no consistent differences. And again, the same thing occurs with mineralization. We see a seasonal trend, low mineralization rates in the late fall and higher mineralization rates in the winter months. But between the treatments at 0 to 5 centimeters and 5 to 10 centimeters, there are no consistent differences. So overall, we really do not see any differences in the nitrate availability due to these freeze-thaw cycles. Finally, when we look at the phosphate availability by resin extractable phosphate, over time we see no consistent differences. So between the treatments. So we are not seeing any differences in the nutrient availabilities. We did have temperature and moisture differences, but no consistent differences were found with inorganic nitrogen or phosphate availability. So the differences in plant growth that we saw were not due to nitrogen or phosphate. Instead, it would be due to temperature and moisture. It is possible that this is a cumulative effect, and that this following season will exhibit more differences between the treatments. And also, it is possible that because we had an intermittent snow cover rather than a continuous snow cover over the winter season, that these changes are already occurring. So we are not seeing more than what has already occurred. Anyway, thank you for coming, and with that, I'll take any questions. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice actual soil tweaking?
Well, yeah, we can go back and look at that. There were temperature fluctuations within the air. Yeah, within the time period that we looked at it. I did not look at it at a close enough scale that I looked at the specific freezing and thawing time period, but there, like I said, there are fluctuations in each of the treatments. Does that answer your question? Do you? Yeah, like I said, the snow cover was pretty intermittent throughout the winter season, so that could be a possibility. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the plant uptake of the nutrients, if you have more plant growth, they're taking up more nutrients, so you're not seeing it in the...
Yeah, I thought about that, and I wondered if I would have seen more of a release earlier on than before the... because we were seeing a lot of plant growth during this time period between March and April and May. So I wondered that if the nutrient uptake was causing us to not see differences in the treatments, that maybe there would have been more of a release earlier on. Yeah. Every time we had snowfall, we would...
How often would that be? You know, how much would that change water content?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Oh, how many times? Okay, so... this graph shows the snow cover throughout the winter. We see that there are spaces where there are no snow cover, but the snowfall is generally about the same as this period.
So I'm just a bit confused. How does that snow melt treatment work? As soon as the snow starts falling, do you warm the plot to get rid of the snow, or do you do that snow melt?
I didn't count how many times we had snowfall, but when it did start to snow, we turned on the heat lamps and then let the heat lamps run until that snow was melted from the plot. Sorry.